The concept of light versus darkness, this battle of light versus dark, it is the central concept of all literature. It's in the movies, it's in our lives, because the central theme of our lives is pushing past our limitations that we're born with and our struggle to escape darkness. Are we going to escape the darkness, or is the darkness going to take us? Because the darkness is so powerful. And can we get away from it? Well, that's yet to be seen. It depends on us. And that's the message of the Bible, is that you as a human have the ability to rise up and develop yourself, that you can evolve. You can grow stronger. You can build yourself up, and you can fight this moral, spiritual, ethical, developmental battle. And you can be a person of light, or you can go the easy way and just softly go into the deep night of darkness. But as we're going to see, as we look at 8 levels of darkness, that's what this is going to be about. 8 levels of darkness. You're going to see you don't really want to go into the darkness. The first level of darkness, and we all have darkness. We're all battling about darkness. And to get away from the darkness, you know, you're escaping the darkness. That's the central story of your life. Will you escape the darkness? First level of darkness, simple ignorance. Darkness is used in the Bible and in literature to talk about a state where your mind has been darkened. You cannot even see the reality of the existence of a thing because it's just not there for you. In northern Thailand, there's this cave. It became famous when the boys' soccer team got trapped there. And, the cave flooded, and it took an international effort to rescue them with equipment. That cave is in our town where we live, and just north of our city. And so it was normal until now for us to go into that cave. And I'll never forget the first time we did it. Sherry and I started taking our students at Media Light to go into the cave because I wanted everyone to experience, well, we wanted everybody to go into a cave, but I wanted everybody to feel what I felt the first time I walked into that cave. This cave goes miles. This isn't like a little cave. You can drive a truck into this cave, but it goes on and on. It goes for miles. But if you go 10 minutes, you could go 5 minutes. You could go 5 minutes into this cave. And so everybody's there together and we're walking. It's a sandy floor and we're walking, walking, walking. And you make these twists and turns. And then I would have everybody sit down on the floor. And then I would say, now turn off your cell phones. And it was always really a horrifying moment because as those phones went off, if you've never been in 100% darkness, you can't describe the experience. It is a darkness over you, under you, around you. You can open your eyes. You can reach out. You can use all your concentration. There's nothing. And it was frightening because you knew the minute you turned off your lights, you knew that you were dead. If you couldn't get your flashlight to go back on, if for some reason all of our lights went out, we would be completely at the mercy of waiting on somebody else who had light to come into that cave because you don't know where you came from. You cannot see not even one glow of light. I mean black, black darkness, pitch black darkness. That's ignorance. Ignorance says, you could have a bottle of water right beside you in the darkness. You don't know. You could have a flashlight on the ground beside you. You don't know. There could be a rope somewhere there that if you pull the rope, it leads you back to safety, but you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And so a mind, the darkness of a mind is first of all, the ignorance of that mind and a mind that just can't see what it can't see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, talking about the devil, the God of this age has blinded, not the eyes, the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the glorious light of the story about Jesus. They are blinded so that they can't see it in their mind. You know, there are things that in our mind, we've never seen them. We don't know them. We don't have, you know, how many people died throughout history just from ignorance? Nobody knew what to do. They didn't know that would cause that. They didn't know if you got that problem, you could do this, and they just didn't know it. And then ignorance, and we all have it, ignorance leads you to second kind of blindness, and that is unbelief. Refusing to believe a thing because it's not in your light. You know, you have certain things that you've seen, and because you've seen your things, you set those up like pillars in your life. And then there's another thing that is true. It is true. It is valuable. It is good. But you haven't seen it. You're dark to that thing. And so you become an unbeliever in that thing. It's not just that you don't believe it. You anti-believe it because it threatens your mindset. I remember, again, in the Philippines, we moved there. It was our first time to live in a mega city. This is many, many years ago. And so I was, Sherry and I were visiting some friends. We were having dinner with them, and we were all processing. We're all new to the culture and new to life in a mega city like Manila. It's just so alive and so many things about it that are new. And so we were processing what we were having a hard time dealing with. And then I said, with great authority, "One thing you will never, ever make me eat, nobody will ever get me to eat, are those filthy purple ball-like things they sell at the red lights." You know, kids will walk out among cars and they want a lot of money for this strand of, you know, they've woven to hold these things on there, and they're purple and you can see the thumbprints. It's broken. It's just like nasty. No way I'm eating that. And my host looked at me and he said, "Wait a minute." And he got up and he walked back in the kitchen. He came back out and he brought me exactly one of those nasty things that I just said I will never, ever eat. Who would eat that? And he put his thumbs in it and he pulled it apart. And inside was an aroma and a beautiful white fleshy fruit. And he offered it to me and he said, "Just try a little. Just try the tiniest," because it, you know, it has sections in it like an orange. "Just try the tiniest section of this." I put it on my tongue and I suddenly discovered my favorite taste in the whole world. It is my favorite fruit, and it is mangosteen. He said, "You don't eat the outside. You eat this inside." And he didn't have to say any more words, because I had gone from an unbeliever to a believer because I came out of darkness about that thing. Suddenly, I knew what it was. Suddenly, I understood it. And that experience, but see, it took the willingness to go past my unbelief and to investigate a thing that was not my thing, that was totally not my thing, but to investigate it and to at least open the door that I might be wrong. Because my friend, and Mike DeLong, thank you so much for introducing me to mangosteen for the rest of my life. Now, this is just about fruit, but it goes a lot deeper than fruit. You know, religious people, this is where darkness, I would say, this is the primary damaging area where darkness attacks pious people, religious people, ideological people, people who believe what they believe and they live by their standards. And that's a noble thing. You know, they've seen some light, and in their light, they have established a box, set of standards, but now there are things outside that box. And this group is so very, very dangerous. And it's because they know a little. You know, we have an exercise at Media Light, and we'll take a piece of paper and we will say, okay, this piece of paper, let's see if I can do it for you. This piece of paper symbolizes everything that can be known. This is all the knowledge there is in the whole universe. Now, put a mark on it and tell us how much you believe you know. And so, you know, I'm going to do something very arrogant, and I am going to make a dot that big. I should have sought for the smallest pen in the house and made one so small you can't even see it, because human knowledge is just, it keeps expanding, but the point is there's a lot to be known, and that's all we know. However, most people spend all their time pointing at that dot. You try to tell them something, they say, I know. And they want to tell you all that they know. And so their focus, that's that sophomoric dangerous phase because sophomore, it's why they call the second year in school sophomore. It means you're a brilliant idiot, because you've got a little knowledge, and having a little knowledge is very dangerous because you assume a lot more about yourself than what you actually possess. The deeper you go into knowledge, the more you understand, man. It just shrinks. You know, our understanding as we broaden our perspective and say, let's look, then what we know, you know, just keeps shrinking. The Apostle Paul is the best example in Scripture for how dangerous it is, how the darkness affects people of conviction and people of religion. In the story of the Apostle Paul, he is not the Apostle Paul in the beginning. He is a man named Saul of Tarsus. He is a Pharisee. He is a member of the highest councils. He is one of the most educated men in the country. He has been to the Harvard of his day. He studied at the feet of the lead rabbi, and now he is in position with worldly knowledge. He's got degrees. He's got power. He's got influence. We're told a certain level of wealth. And so here is Paul, and he is totally devout about not worshiping other gods, because the Bible is very clear there's that you're not to worship the other gods. And so here comes Jesus, and all these followers of Jesus rise up, and they say he's not just the Jewish Messiah, he is the God-man, and he is here to rescue the whole planet and bring all humans, Jews and Gentiles, back to God and fix what's wrong with humans and fix what's wrong with this world. And Saul blazes against this group. He puts people to death. He gets letters from the high priest that he may go to other cities, go in houses. He drags away women. He drags away men. He is not losing any sleep. He believes he is doing God a favor by being so zealous, and he is causing so much pain. He contributes to the death and suffering of many, and he is on his horse with his guards, and they are entering a new city when suddenly a lightning bolt from heaven hits him in the face and goes, he is knocked off his horse. This light that God created, not a light of electricity, not a light from the sun, it is the light of Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God speaks and that light goes out, that enlightenment goes out, and it hits Paul and knocks him off his horse, makes him blind. So now he's blind to what he used to think he saw. And he has to be led by the hand into a house, and a man walks into the house very humbly and says, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to lay hands on you. And when he does, the scales fall off of his eyes. And Paul has heard a voice from heaven. And this voice says, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And Saul breaks. He is so humiliated. He is heartbroken because in trying so hard to serve God based on his knowledge, his ignorance, because we all have we think we know a lot and we don't. Well, there's so much we don't know. But this hardness. And, you know, the same thing, you see it in wokeism, you see it in the Nazi, you see it in the hard right wingers, all the isms of the world. It doesn't matter what ism you want to put in that, communism, all of it. Once they get that ideology so deep inside and they blind their minds to it, they are the most dangerous of humans because their ideology propels them and they laugh and take joy in the torment of other people who are now their demonized enemies, all because of darkness. That's how powerful darkness is. Even when you're trying to do right, even when you've exerted yourself to learn, it's darkness, and darkness is powerful. So there's a darkness of ignorance. There's a darkness of unbelief. When you simply don't believe because you haven't opened your mind to see the new thing. So you are the enemy of belief. And then that leads to another concept that's in the Bible, and that is number three, intelligent evil. That evil, Ra, destruction, is intelligent. It's not just that we choose right or we choose left. No, I'm going to say left. left has magnetic power. This thing has a strength that pulls, and it has gotten into all the pillars of our society. And this evil bends. Anytime humans build power from an educational, like the Department of Education, to the Department of Justice, to the Department of the Military, to the Department of Finance, anything, you build human power structures, and Ra will get inside there. Darkness will get in there, because the Bible teaches that evil is intelligent. It has a mind. It pulls things against God. It is anti-creation. It is anti-God, and it is anti-human. It is always going to want to limit human freedom, limit human expression, put a limit, put a hard, harsh limit. And you're going to find that everywhere. Evil works like that. It will crush anyone who opposes it. It's the dark side of the force. And it is an intelligent evil. And this leads us to another concept that we'll explore later, called spiritual war. These pillars of society exercise authority downward on the heads of humans. And always this authority, you can track it, this authority in every country in the world is going to slant against God. It's going to be against light. It's going to protect dark things. It's going to call them expression, and it's going to make them protected darlings. It's going to make the moral, the ethical, the higher standards, that is going to be beaten down, and that is going to be worked against. Honoring God, references to God, worship to God, that is going to be pulled down. It'll be through media and the arts. It'll be through culture. It'll be through song. They'll find a way, and they will continually pull the focus away from obedience and loyalty to the Creator God and following the path of light. I mean, that's common sense. That's what leads humans upward. Well, darkness doesn't want that. Darkness is one of the big three. It is entropy that tears you apart, so there's no structure to you and you're just dust in space. It is the darkness that keeps your mind ignorant and holds you in unbelief, and then leads you into positive evil. And that's the next layer in the Bible's talk about darkness. Darkness is a thing called sin. And sin is human actions in the service of darkness. You know, darkness is intelligent. Evil is intelligent, and it acts against humans. But as it acts against humans, eventually humans collaborate. Humans start to join the darkness. Like, hey, if this pressure is all around, I'm just going to be on your side. And so we start doing things in the service of darkness. And those things are called Ra. That's evil. And those things are called sin. And because we are free moral agents, and we'll see that later in the creation story, we are responsible for our actions in the service of darkness. Those actions are called sin. And sin becomes, on the one hand, it's an action that you do. On the other hand, it's a power that binds you. Sort of like you smoke a cigarette in the beginning, it's you. You take the cigarette, never had this. I'm making a choice. I start smoking this cigarette. After a while, the cigarette smokes you. It's like you can't sleep. You're too nervous. You have to. And now, okay, the circle has turned. And the power of Ra, deconstruction, is now at work in this tobacco to make a slave out of a human. Slave to what? A slave to a vegetable, you know? A thing that grows in the dirt, a thing that you planted in the dirt, is now your master. And so this is what darkness wants. It always wants deconstruction. It wants to pull a human down from what we are and to bring us low so that we can be controlled. And that leads to the next level in the talk about darkness, and that is the domain of darkness. Darkness becomes, you know, we go from the thought in the Bible of that evil is intelligent and that humans collaborate and become sinners and we work for evil, we join evil, to the idea that there's a spiritual war, that evil actively makes plans and does war against the good and against the light and against God and against God's people. And then we get to this next level that says, and evil establishes, darkness establishes a domain. A domain is a place. Is a place. It is your headquarters. It is your castle on the hill. It is your county. It is the extent of your authority, your city limits. And so darkness comes to establish a perimeter. And the Bible says the whole earth now lies in darkness. Well, it was always in darkness. It was in darkness before there was an earth. But then light came, and light gave us freedom, at least for half of every day. Light was here to show us what we could do, to open our eyes, to let us see things. And then we go back and we rest again, trying to grow us, trying to help us stretch. But there's a domain of darkness. You know, there's a place where evil is in charge, where darkness is in charge. Colossians 1:13 is actually a very hopeful verse. And it talks about Jesus, who is presented throughout Scripture as the light of the world. And Colossians talks, and Paul says in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not just wrestling with humans. We're wrestling with principalities and powers, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. But in Colossians, it tells us, Colossians 1:13, that the Creator has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. We are not under. If you are following Jesus, if you are following the rightful King of light for this world, because Jesus not only had a vision, he not only had like an ethic. Oh, let me go backwards. Jesus had a vision for this planet, a vision for all humans. And he had a plan to get us to that vision. And he has a life practice for every human. That's what makes him like no other spiritual leader. You follow the ways of Jesus, and he leads you out of darkness to the light. People have a lot of stories about how their life got so screwed up. But one story you're never going to hear, like you can never go find somebody who is, they're filthy, they're drug addicted, they're beaten up, they're sleeping in a corner somewhere, and you say, how did your life come to this? What they're never going to say is, I was happy, successful. I had a healthy life. And then I started following Jesus, and I started obeying his teachings. I started loving people and sharing, apologizing when I hurt somebody. I started putting others' benefit ahead of my own. And the next thing you know, I was on drugs. You're not going to hear that story. You're not going to hear it in any country. But what you will hear in your town, wherever you live, you can go around your town, you will find people that will tell you the opposite story. I was a shell. I was a completely discarded, empty shell of a human being. And then I met Jesus, and he began to show me light because I was a prisoner of darkness, and he led me out of this dark by his light. And I rose up, and he gave me authority over my own life, and I started treating people differently, and I kept my promises, and I saw myself as a child of God, and I cleaned myself up. And you just keep telling this story, and they rise. Jesus changes people, because this battle between light and dark, it's not fairy tale. This is real. This is in you right now. This dark is relentless. It will never stop wanting you. You can be married 60 years. This thing is still going to be working against your marriage, against your mind, toward your partner. Darkness never takes a holiday. It's always at work. Thank God we're going to learn a lot about light. But the point is, today, we've got to understand our enemy and that we are in the domain of darkness. But praise God, through Jesus, we've been translated, means like beam me up, Scotty. You know, Jesus has taken us, and we have been transferred into a new authority. You're not under the authority of darkness. You are under the authority of the Son of God. You're under the authority of the Son of Light. The last two levels in the Bible's discussion about darkness, levels of darkness. Level number 7, separation from the presence of God. Presence of God is described in the Scriptures as light. We move toward light. We move toward God. You feel the face. You feel the light of God on your face. You know you're going the right direction. His presence is light. It lifts your mind. A lightness comes into you. It's like all the windows of your mind get open. With lightness comes all the things associated. There's happiness. There's joy. There's optimism. As God fills you, you float. And this buoyance comes inside of you. Your life is full of light, and you can see the things you need to deal with. It's not that when you're walking in the light, you have no faults. You see your faults now because your mind is open and you're not closed off. When you're closed off, you're dark, but you're open. And so I just want to encourage you, stay open. Stay as open as you can to everything. Listen to people. Listen sincerely to the words of other people. And so we find ourselves now walking with God, and we're walking. Read 1 John. 1 John is an entire little book. Some Christians read it every day, and I recommend the practice highly. But 1 John goes into this whole thing about light versus darkness, what it means to walk in the light. So, you know, that's more for next week. But when you move away from the presence of God, you move into a dark place. You move into a dark place inside. You move into a dark world. And the final state for those who reject God is to reject light. And the place of eternity for those who turn and harden themselves against God, who sell themselves to the darkness, who join as collaborators, and their life is a life of sin. They are doing things in the service of darkness to pull humans down, to pull others down, to destroy while they're here. They move farther and farther away from God into darkness, and their judgment, the judgment place for those who refuse to fellowship with God and be part of his light, is outer darkness. And in outer darkness, there is no light at all. And all that darkness that's already been at work just continues to do its work. The negative emotion, the darkness of despair. It's not like people in the outer darkness are longing for the light. Those longings are gone. Those longings are created by the light, and they are in the outer darkness. Their hate is bigger hate than they've ever had. Their self-pity is deeper than they've ever known, and it just continues to swirl deeper, 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 darker. My friends, we are made for better things than this. But it's important that we understand the power of darkness, and that, thank God, we can get away from darkness. We can move toward light. God has given us light on the first day of creation. It is what causes the birth of our planet. Those words, let there be light. And life comes after light. And so I encourage you, open up your heart today. Open up your heart to God's light. There is nothing good for you in the dark. We got to push away from that. We got to fight it. We have to see it as our enemy and not, play games with it. But we must go to war against it. It's at war with us. Darkness is part of the big three, and it wants to tear our life down and destroy everything of good that's in us. In our next video, we're going to talk about light. We're going to focus on the power of the light. What's in light? How does the Bible use the word light? What strength is there in life that we can tap into? The next video is called Cultivating Your Inner Light, and I hope you'll check it out.